Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Greetings. Welcome to Lehem Panim. We're continuing today our study of the Epistle of 1 John, a book that is centered on helping us to be real, authentic Christians. And John writes in 1 John 2, 15-17, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Now, we took a look at what John meant by the lust of the flesh last week. But the second thing that John warns us about is the lust of the eyes. And what John means by this phrase, lust of the eyes, is the coveting of anything that is not our own. You know, I'm amazed when I look at the Ten Commandments, because we see that the last commandment is very different from the first nine. The first nine, you'll have no other gods, you shall not take the name of God in vain, you shall not break the Sabbath, but keep it holy, you shall honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, or bear false witness. All of those things are outward sins, sins of omission or commission, things we do or don't do physically. But it's interesting that the last commandment is completely unique in that it's the only commandment that deals with something not outside, but inside. It says, "You shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servants, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." And I wonder if this is not the climax of all the Ten Commandments. I think many argue that it is. The law of God climaxes in where your heart rests, not just what you do or don't do. We live in a world that is always trying to make us dissatisfied with either who we are or what we have. And it always tries to tell us that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But the problem is that when we get what's on the other side, we're never satisfied. The object of your desires never lives up to its billing, and you're left feeling empty and unsatisfied, and so you covet all the more. I can't tell you how many burger commercials I have seen over the years in which the bacon is crispy and the salad is exploding with mist and you just can't wait to get your hands on that burger. And then you go to the pickup window at the restaurant and they hand you this dilapidated thing. But the grass is never greener on the other side of the fence, at least not often. Usually it's not as good as what we have. One of the funnier things you can observe if you ever visit a farm is seeing cows in a nice green pasture with plenty of green grass stretching their necks through a barbed wire fence in order to get a bite of short brown grass in a neighbor's pasture. And you know, too many Christians in our world today act just like those cows. There's always something better, always something we're stretching, craning our necks for. I used to work at Apple, and I loved following the various new things that they create. I still do. Apple is one of those few companies that truly, I guess, inspires me by what they create. It's funny, the people around me laugh at me because I watch the new product announcements much like they watch a football game. I don't care for football much. Right now I'm broadcasting. And right across the street is the Seahawks Stadium. I've never been inside. I just couldn't care less. I don't know. I'll cry out, "Go Seahawks!" But for me, I'm much more excited watching an Apple event. But it's interesting, you know, as I watch these Apple events, they are such masters at making that iPhone that you got a month ago look absolutely like a fossil the next year, to the point where I remember when iPhone 5 came out years ago. a comedian on TV said about the previous generation of iPhone that she had bought not long before that, I now know what iPhone 4S stands for. For suckers. Now, her phone was still pretty cool, but she didn't feel that way anymore. I don't really care about having the latest and the greatest. I'll buy a computer or phone and I'll use it till it breaks or goes through the washing machine several times, which has been the case. But for a lot of people, they cannot have peace until they replace what they currently have with the next level up. Just read the news announcements that happened not long ago about the lines piled up around Apple to get this new phone. I mean, cell phone plans are now changing because while people used to sign contracts for 2 years and then use the phone they chose for that long or longer, now people want to be upgrading all the time. And there are cell phone and computer buyback programs set up now in mobile stores and stores like Best Buy to accommodate that insatiable desire to have the latest and greatest. We live in a world that always makes what we don't have seem better. And partially this may be why we struggle with divorce so much in our culture. We run into problems in our relationships, so we're told to abandon ship and start over with somebody better. But when we do, we find out that the new person has, if not the same flaws as the old person, the old model, they have flaws of their own. Many have affairs because they're seeking to gratify something in a relationship with someone else that they feel they need and can't find in the person they're married to. But it's interesting, the secret of contentment, it doesn't lie with the thing possessed, but it lies in the heart of the possessor. Paul says in Philippians 4:11-13, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now notice that last verse, verse 13, which we hear so many times in so many different ways. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This has to be one of the most misinterpreted verses in all of Scripture. We pull that verse out of its context and we use it in whatever area of our life we want to see victory. I can reach that next level. I can get that better job. I can obtain more and more because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what we always forget is that that verse is a summary, if you will, of verses 11 through 12, which talk about Paul's learning to be content no matter what situation he's placed in. What Paul is saying is that he is victorious in his contentment because God gives him the strength to maintain that contentedness. And ultimately, Christ can help you and me to be content no matter where we are, because it is in Christ we find our ultimate fulfillment. And it's when we understand that, that God is more freed up to bless us, because God's not going to bless those who are seeking fulfillment in other things. Because he knows that He will run the risk of placing something into our life that will become an idol. If we keep God first, it frees God to bless us more. Now, the last thing that John warns us to watch out for is the pride of life. And one author I read pointed out how this pride of life essentially consists of two things: boasting about material possessions and boasting about accomplishments. Proud of either your position in life or your possessions in life. He says, such pride causes you to put your faith in yourself rather than in God. And therefore, such pride will ultimately cut you off from the grace of God because his grace is received through faith alone. The Bible clearly teaches that pride will lead to your downfall. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, says Proverbs 16:18. And it should come as no surprise to us that Jesus was also tempted in this manner. Satan dared Jesus to show off by leaping from the top of the temple. And Jesus responded, you know, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. If we have been blessed with positions and possessions, we must be careful not to put our confidence in them because verse 17 tells us they're not going to last. Verse 17 says, the world and its desires will pass away. And the Bible teaches that one day the world and everything are in it will be destroyed with fire. We read that in 2 Peter 3:10 through 11. And if you've ever lived your life only for the things of this world, what will you have when Jesus returns and everything passes away? You won't have anything. And that's why Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And this verse is teaching us that we will share in the destiny of whatever we give our lives to. If we give our lives to the world, we will burn in the lake of fire for all eternity, the Bible says. But if we give our lives to God, we will enjoy paradise for all eternity. As the verse says, the man who does the will of God lives forever. The following quote says it well, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. Are you living for eternity or for the now? Are you more concerned about what people will think of you today or about what God will think of you on Judgment Day? Let us preserve our bodies from the lust of the flesh. Let us preserve our eyes from the seduction of covetousness. Let us guard our hearts against the pitfall of pride. This week, my secretary asked me for my sermon title for the Sunday sermon I was getting ready to preach on this passage. And I told her, not loving the world. And then I thought, you know what, that's boring. Let me think of something catchy that represents the heart of what John is talking about. And I came up with the opening of a letter. Dear world, I want a divorce. And I liked that much better. But you know, it got me thinking, if you and I were to write a letter of divorce to the world, what would it say? Maybe something like, dear world, I've been married to you for years. I indulged in the gluttony, the lust, the wrongful sex, the ambition. I tried every amusement and spent a lot of valuable time and money on material gain. But I just became more and more dissatisfied, and I gotta tell you, things just aren't working out. You aren't making me happy anymore. And what's more, I've found somebody better. A way that is better. A life that is better. So, dear world, I want a divorce. Maybe that's a letter you want to write this week. And then maybe write a second letter, this time to the new object of your love, your Lord Jesus. Dear Jesus, here's why I have chosen to unite myself with and be faithful to you. Please help me to be. Change my heart and mind so that they are aligned with your word and your kingdom. Let me tell you, don't write anything like that or say anything like that unless you are ready for God to move, because God will always respond to that kind of request if it is offered from a heart that is willing and ready to obey him and to follow him wherever he leads. Let's commit ourselves to that today. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. May you know that transformation and renewal today. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.